With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We are awaiting our Seattle insider, though it could be a few more minutes. Oh, never mind. I'm getting information on the fly. I don't really know how this is going to go since he's still in the press box, but we will attempt to get a connection there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for weighing in about Monday Night Football and also the trades that have been most impactful in the NFL this year. Man, even going back over the list of trades, there are a lot of them that you might forget in the spring and then in the early summer, obviously on into the season. 855-212-4227, that's our number. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So we're pleased to welcome now Greg Bell, who covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, I heard a lot of people who were there at the game on Monday night describing it as a playoff atmosphere. What did it feel like to you?
Well, it did, Amy, except it was about as sloppy as a playoff game could possibly be. It was thrilling. It was exhaustive. It was all of that for five whole periods, but they can't, either team can play this way and succeed in the playoffs. Seven combined turnovers, four from the Seahawks. First time they've won a game with committing four turnovers since 1984. That's a long time ago. And that's not going to get it done in the postseason. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo, for as much pressure as he felt, needs to hold on to the ball a lot more strongly than he did in the pocket. And Russell Wilson made a completely uncharacteristic underthrow of Jacob Hollister on the first drive of overtime that if he had thrown it as he normally does and correctly, that was a touchdown. The game would have been over right there. Only the second interception of the season for Russell Wilson. But in the end, Amy, the most decisive and encouraging thing for the Seahawks, beside the obvious of getting right in this NFC West race with six games to go, is the pass rush for the first time showed up. Mm. Jadeveon Clowney was all over the place. Why they traded for Houston for him. Five sacks on the night, 10 quarterback hits, by far the season highs for the Seahawks tonight. And they did it without blitzing a lot of the times, which was coming in the only way they were getting sacks. They were 25th in the league coming in sacks, and what they did tonight won the game for them.
Why do you think it was different tonight against the Niners?
Well, if you hear Clowney and Bobby Wagner talk in the locker room afterwards and a couple other Seahawks defenders, they said they took a lot of personal affront to all the attention the 49ers pass rush and front four was getting for getting home, Bosa and Buckner and Armstead. And they said, frankly, they got tired of hearing it, and they thought the effort and the energy from the start of the game was going to be the most important part of tonight. Jerron Reed, who had done nothing in his three games back from a six-game suspension to start the season, had a sack and a half, had a sack right away early in the first quarter. Clowney did as well, forced a fumble, returned a fumble for a touchdown. Just game-changing plays that the Seahawks defensive line has not had. It sounds like an intangible, but to hear them tell it, the biggest change was motivation and effort and energy early in the game.
When you think about the opportunities that the offense had and then squandered, as you talk about, it's sloppy. But in those moments late in games, there's still something special about Russell Wilson. He shows it on Monday Night Football. He showed it in overtime against the Buccaneers a week ago. And just the fact that the Seahawks are 5-0 on the road this season for the first time in franchise history, how have you seen him even elevate his game more this year?
Well, that's a good point, that the Seahawks feel they have the most decisive advantage at the game's most important position every week. And they did tonight with the game on the line. I thought maybe the 49ers' biggest mistake of many at the end of the game was throwing three straight incomplete passes and only using 14 seconds on that drive late in overtime to give the Seahawks the ball back with no timeouts and giving Russell Wilson that chance from his own 36-yard line to win the game, and he did. This year, though, Amy, the second year with offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, Schottenheimer has really learned what Wilson does best and tailored his offense much more to that than it was last season. A lot of misdirection, rollouts, short throws in the pocket, things that Wilson's accuracy is best at, Schottenheimer does a lot more. And they are using a lot more of what has worked in the past to the entire team's advantage, such as Tyler Lockett's pet routes across the field. Seahawks like to run play action to the left, roll Russell Wilson out to the right, and send Lockett from right to left across the field. They've done that for two or three years for big plays, and the whole league sees it. Well, this year, the Seahawks have won two games on pass plays, variations of that pet play, sending DK Metcalf behind it or Tyler Lockett the opposite direction that he normally goes. And those are two examples of how Schottenheimer has evolved this offense to the strength of Russell Wilson, getting him outside and making big, accurate throws. He's the best in the league right now. And to give the ball back, like I said, with the 49ers going three and out with three incompletions, to give the best quarterback in the game another chance with no timeouts when they could have really iced the end of that, at least given Seahawks not much of a chance on the clock at the end of overtime. I think that was, looking back, you want to be aggressive, of course, to win the game for San Francisco, but they ended up giving the best player in the best position a chance to win.
Greg Bell with the Tacoma News Tribune from the Bay Area covering Monday Night Football here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Tyler Lockett. What happened to him?
He got a leg contusion, Pete Carroll said, a lower leg contusion that was so severe that they're worried about the blood pooling in the central part of in a one focal part of his leg, and they are considering not flying him back. The team's about to leave right now to get off the ground on their plane, and there's some consideration to keep him in the Bay Area overnight. Worried about the blood in the lower part of his leg and trying to fly at altitude with that. So there's a chance he will stay here tonight. Pete Carroll quoted as a, quote, pretty severe situation post-game tonight, but one he thinks the Seahawks doctors have gotten ahead of, and that in perhaps 13 days when they play again after a bye week, Lockett could be okay to play at Philadelphia November 24th. It's a big, big void, though. He's on a pace for career highs in catches and yards. He's become the replacement for retired Doug Baldwin as the trusted guy on third downs and in the red zone. And it was noticeable in overtime, Amy, that they didn't have 16 out there. It was Malik Turner making plays, and Josh Gordon, his 10th day with the team. That was who he was relying on. And then Jacob Hollister, the only tight end left healthy on the roster right now, that ended up making plays without Lockett in overtime.
Well, that's another thing that to me really stands out about this team is the turnover slash injuries to the receiving core. You mentioned Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett stepping into that role almost seamlessly. And yet, other than him, it's just been a changing landscape for Wilson, which to me makes the start to the season even more impressive.
You're right. Wilson's playing so well, he can make you and I look good at receiver, frankly,
yes!
Right now. Maybe not me, but you. And he's so accurate with passes that almost at times guys can't help but catch it. It almost sticks to their face mask. But no doubt, DK Metcalf has been a find as a second-round pick. That everyone knew how a freak he was coming out of the combine, but they thought he was a one-trick guy that could just run go routes like Ole Miss sent him on. Well, he does a lot more than that. He's a really polished receiver who can run short routes, crossing routes, can catch in coverage. He had a couple plays tonight that he dropped the ball or at least had it knocked out of his hands by defenders. But in general this year, he's been very good and better than advertised in much more varied ways. I mentioned Malik Turner, a guy that was an undrafted rookie out of Illinois last year who stepped up tonight with two big plays in overtime. Now they add Josh Gordon to all that. And if they can get Lockett back off injury like they think they can, they have a 2013 All-Pro who thinks he's back, and the Seahawks think he's back to health. The Patriots, of course, waiving him after a knee injury and other things last month. They think they have receivers that can get open down the field now that they've added Gordon on top of Lockett and Metcalf.
What have they said about Josh Gordon early on? Because, as you know, when New England decided to part ways, there's all kinds of reports swirling about why they decided to let him go.
Well, no evidence of that yet. Of course, they haven't lost a game, and he's been thrown to a few times in his first game tonight, so all's well. But there's no evidence of him being late or missing practices or meetings. And and no evidence that he is unhappy here. He said this is the place he's wanted to go for years, that he's known Russell Wilson since 2014, and that he and Wilson have talked about him possibly coming to Seattle at some time. It took, of course, the Patriots releasing him to get the Seahawks to get that opportunity. The Seahawks were surprised, Amy, that 27 other teams passed on him on the waiver claim. The Seahawks were the 28th in the list because of their 7-2 record in claiming him. Nobody else did. That tells you how much the teams are scared off by the 5 suspensions and all the other issues that he's had off the field, the substance abuse. He said he's happy here. This is a place he wants to be because of Russell Wilson. And basically, Saturday, Gordon said Russell Wilson can make anyone look good, and he's hoping that Gordon has a rebirth here the last 6 games.
George, I'm sorry, Greg, please forgive me. I was thinking George Kittle, and then I look.
My grandfather was named George, so I'm honored. Thank you, Amy.
Sorry. Greg Bell, Seahawks reporter.
It's 3 in the morning back there. I'm not going to hold you down.
Oh, gosh. Well, this is I keep on West Coast time. This is my regular witching hours. It covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. So I heard a couple. I mean, Pete Carroll makes jokes about how this was, this was something that was so easy. You get your nachos and your guac and you just put your feet back up. Anyway, yeah. But Russell Wilson talked about this being one of the wildest games that he was a part of, but also such a significant win for them. And certainly in the division, that's huge, handing the Niners their first loss. But why do you think this is a game that, as you say, the defense gets up for and they really were able to surge all the way through to the end?
They won't say this, Amy, but look, if they lose tonight, they're 3 games back in the loss column with 6 games to play from the 49ers. And barring an absolute collapse, that's over. The 49ers would win the division. The Rams are 5-4. The Seahawks would have been 6-3. Now the Seahawks win this game, and they're a half game back. And they have the 49ers coming to them week 17, the final Sunday of the regular season up in Seattle. So that's how big and pivotal this win was. The race is either on or off. It was going to be over if McLaughlin makes that kick in overtime. The 49ers are going to win the division, barring an absolute collapse. And now the Seahawks control their fate in the NFC West. If they can win out or stay within a half game of San Francisco, more likely. San Francisco's got some tough games coming up, including at Baltimore, and they got the Rams one more time. But if the Seahawks can stay within a half game heading into Week 17, they'll have the 49ers at home for a chance to win the division title. And this team, the Seahawks, they've been to the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years,
right,
but not recently have they had home games in the playoffs. And that is when they have gone out in the second rounds. Maybe they win a first-round wild-card playoff game, but then the second round, they're out. And that the home playoff games is what Pete Carroll talked about after the night of the playoff loss at Dallas in January. He said, look, we got to get enough wins in October, November to have 12 so wins to win a division so you can get the home games. The only 3 times this franchise has been to the Super Bowl is when they've had home field advantage in the playoffs and all the teams have to come out to South Alaska and play in the 40-degree rain with people screaming. it's a tough task for teams to win in January in Seattle. Tonight's win keeps the possibility of Seattle having home playoff games.
Mm. Okay, Greg, this is a personal question, so completely off this track that we're on right now. But I just saw on your Twitter that you're a West Point grad.
I am, ma'am. Yes, I am. 1993.
Amazing. Well, thank you for your service. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Also appreciate your time tonight. And I'm sorry I called you George.
I told you it's my grandfather's name. My whole family would be proud of you. Thank you. I'm not insulted at all.
Okay, good. Well, we would love to have you on the show again. Covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, thanks so much for a couple of minutes, even though you're still in the press box.
Part of the job, as you know. Thank you,
yes.
Amy. Thank
all
you,
right.
Ma'am. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.